Welcome back to Dark Rum Podcast. I'm Turtle.
I'm Kyle.
And we have a special guest this week.
My name is Jared Haas. I am the director and writer of The Retailer.
Welcome aboard, Jared.
Why are you looking at me?
You're
why
not is this say happening? Hi to our guest.
Hi.
Hi. Wow. How's it going?
We did that part.
Well, not on air for the people that are listening.
That's fake.
That's fake. I'm done with you. Anyway, Jared here, you recently directed and filmed, correct, this movie, The Retailer.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you want to give us a synopsis?
So most people have worked some kind of retail or service job.
Everyone, for sure.
Yeah. Everybody, right? So whether they're dealing with the general public or, mm-hmm. you know, they have to deal with some coworkers or you have to deal with that annoying boss. I mean, to be honest with you, there's most people who have obviously worked for people who are just complete jerks, right?
Yeah.
So it's about this gentleman who is worked in this retail environment for the last 8 years, and he's like an assistant manager.
Okay.
And trying to work himself up the ranks of this local regional chain hardware store. And okay. So he goes through his daily things like this annoying boss, right? Mm-hmm. So this guy who's just like, out of touch, you know. He wants these sales rhythms, and he wants these different procedures that just are out of whack in today's world, right?
Okay.
So they were this hardware store was just it done really well in the 80s, but you know we're living in 2021 now,
yeah.
Right? Which is we started filming this actually in 2019, so it's around it's today's settings, right?
Yeah,
so,
modern day
right
modern hardware day. Store, which I mean like all retail. Declining over the last couple of years pretty hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, here's this guy. He's like working in this retail environment. He's got this shitty boss. Mm-hmm. He's got this and he's got this coworker that's annoying him. He's like trying to take his spot. He wants to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
Cocky. You know, he's got some issues. He's still living at home. He's like in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
He lives with his home with his alien mother.
Ailing mother or alien mother?
No, not alien mother.
I heard alien mother and I was like, plot twist.
That is a completely different movie.
Yeah, wow. All of a sudden it hit me with a hook there I wasn't expecting, but okay.
This alien mother and, you know, so he's got some issues at home, you know,
yeah.
And of course, on top of all that, he's got these customers that any retailer
will know.
Absolutely, right? So he's going through all this drama, and he decides he's going to go see a therapist.
Okay.
And
that's a reasonable step, I think.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
Absolutely. He goes to see this therapist, and, you know, he discusses his life, and then mm-hmm. there's this twist as far as, hey, I might have done this or might have done that, and then things get a little serious, more serious than the common problems.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, it starts like normal, hey, this is just a guy going through the normal life of things, and then ends with, and when it gets too rough, he murders people, or?
You know, I can't really say. I mean, I can tell you that, you know, in some cases, he might have inflicted some pain on the people. Okay, so
the mulch at the hardware store is in fact ex-coworkers.
I wouldn't say ex-coworkers, current coworkers.
Oh wow,
current coworkers.
He's like, that's how he keeps his place. He's just slicing right. off pieces and like staring them down.
Right. So
I'm just guesstimating, by the way. I haven't actually seen the movie. So.
That's all right. Well, if you come December 11th to the Roxy,
yes,
in Northampton, we're going to be doing a red carpet premiere.
Yep.
So we got a lot of cool things going on that day. We're gonna have a talk back session.
Awesome.
So obviously we got to talk to the director and see, you know, where this all, you know, came from, right? Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and how this all came together. We've spent the last 2 years filming this. We fought through a pandemic.
Yeah. Which I'm sure made filming this an absolute fucking nightmare.
Fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah. I was saying, like, I know major Hollywood studios are still struggling to keep stuff going. And, you know, I don't imagine you had the same funding as, you know, Marvel.
absolutely. So when you're working on a low-budget film, you know, you really just kind of got to keep your crew together. And that's what the biggest challenge was. But, like, we're in post-production right now. We're mm-hmm. wrapping this film up.
Awesome.
And, you know, getting ready to premiere in the next 2 months. And mm-hmm. But, I mean, when I look at it, when I think about things that I'm going to remember, I'm going to remember the process the mm-hmm. most. You know, once it's all said and done, the finished product is what the finished product is. You're yeah. going to get folks that are out there like, I absolutely loved it. You're going to get folks that are like, I absolutely hated it. Yeah. What were you thinking? You know, and, yeah. and everybody's going to have an opinion. And that's how you just got to roll with it.
That's kind of one of the major issues with any form of art you put out, is you have to learn when to cut the umbilical and just be like, this is what it is, like, take it or leave it.
Absolutely.
And with movies it's easier because you have a definitive sort of date of letting it go. When you're, you know, if you're doing something like writing or yep. Drawing or whatever, there's a lot of temptation for artists to, and I'm sure you're kind of noticing yeah. this in post-production, of should I tweak this? Should I do that? Right. What would this be a little different here?
Absolutely. And I will tell you, the original concept of this film is not what it actually ended up turning out to be.
Okay.
It really turned out to be this like real horror, you know, thing yeah. where this guy was, well, you know, killing customers left and right. And, mm-hmm. you know, and...
See, but, I missed the part about him killing customers left and right till just now, and I'm into that.
Right, right, right. So you
who
know,
hasn't? I'm just sorry to interrupt you.
Sure.
Who hasn't? Especially from, you know, anyone here, worked in retail and thought, man, if I could just fucking hit you over the head with that shovel,
right?
Like,
just, whoa, me, because me and Jared found out how to just not talk to customers, even though we were commission.
Oh well, that's fair. I guess, you know, how do you wait? How do you not talk to a customer in a commission job?
It's super easy. The boss looks at you and you just make yourself not where he can see you.
But then how don't you, then you don't make money?
We technically did.
Oh my God.
It was a weird commission thing. And also, anytime the boss would actually come near us, we managed to sell something in that moment.
Moment. This is when you worked at H.H. Gregg's or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, and you know, at one point I had actually worked for Best Buy. So, different kind of situation, selling electronics, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and, but we weren't commission based. Mm-hmm. So there is a different mantra about that, you know? So when you talk about, you know, people who are on commission, which is great, you're hungry, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a different kind of sales strategy. But yeah,
I don't like commission. I have a lot of anxiety, and mm-hmm. I'm good at talking about stuff. And you know, if I was less like, yeah, when I worked in retail, just helping someone would be one thing. When I did work in a commission role briefly at Sears, talking up things made me bad at talking about it. Period. Like, I could sell you anything you're looking for, and I'll help you out really well until I know I need to, and then I'm shit at it.
That's why electronics are easy, because all of the stats are lies and each company is separate to themselves.
You just lie that's
about
true.
Whatever one you're talking about.
Yeah, everything is held on a different standard via Sony or Vizio or whoever you're doing.
Yeah, and oftentimes you have a manufacturer who, yeah, it's this manufacturer, but the panels are made by this manufacturer, yeah. and it could be who you might think is one of their direct competitors.
Yeah,
you know, so yeah, it's a crapshoot depending on what it is.
I rave about that with people when I talk about computers. I do a lot of tech related stuff mm-hmm. now, and they tell me, well, what's better? What's better? I'm like, it really depends on the operating system you want. Like, are you going Mac or PC? It's all operating system. There's one island off the fucking. One island in the Atlantic or wherever it is.
Of those two oceans.
No, it's, I'm trying to think of where it is now. It's like Madagascar, but it's not. It's like off of Africa. One island that produces pretty much all of the circuits for everything that's on the market, and they're just shipped to every... And you're like, okay, they slap on... Dell just slaps on their brand to stuff, and Samsung just slaps on their brand name to stuff, and... But most of the RAM is made in one factory. Most of the PC, CPUs and everything are made in one factory. It's all, all really, it's just all the same shit
yeah.
coming from the same places.
And then they kill each other.
Yeah, and then they just...
Because
then there's factory war. So they're building RPGs and they're just taking them out. And then that's why there's a circuit shortage right now. It has nothing to do with the pandemic. They just really hated each other.
Yeah, there's a genocide of which chip was better.
Genocide of which chip? I thought you were saying witches, like a genocide of witches. And I was like, that's a different episode of the Dark Run podcast, Kyle.
They don't do that anymore.
and depends on what part of the country you're in. But okay, so that's awesome. So you're so what's the main character?
Why would people come to this store if they die every time they get there? He's not thinking about the long term return investment.
Well, I mean, you got to remember too that it's not all the customers, but you know, it's some of the customers that he encounters with. You know, so yeah. You know, but in general,
does he do it just right there on the sales floor?
Not necessarily. So,
he's bringing people to the back or something. Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty calculated, right? So he's got this thought out.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So then this guy is like, this is methodical. This isn't like Crimes of Passion. This is like this bitch. This is where the plastic tarp is. This is what. So this is like straight up serial killer, right? Am I right there?
No.
No, not serial
killer? No, because Jared wanted me to try, and I don't know how. I'm an expert because I'm not a doctor.
He's an expert.
Not an expert.
Take it from us, Dark Rum Podcast. Kyle, the expert.
Not a please. Doctor. Not doctor, a doctor.
Dr. Naylor.
Never been a doctor, never worked for the FBI.
Throwing in the FBI thing makes me suspicious that you have worked for the FBI.
They're the ones who determined the differences between types of killers. Oh. Jared wanted me to break down the different types of killers during this. As far as like multiple killers, not like just regular people that kill people.
Multiple killers or like multiple killings?
Different kinds of killers.
Different kinds of killers, right? Or
no? Yes and no. I was talking specifically like people that kill multiple people.
Oh, okay. So serial killers.
No. There's mass murderers.
Okay.
Spree killers and serial killers.
Okay. Well, what's the difference?
They're all similar and different. Like your mass murderer is going to be the one who this probably is closer to, but a little bit different. Actually, it's not. Is the one who goes to one place and kills everyone there tries to.
So like Columbine kind of thing.
No. Yes. I don't know. Kind of.
Well, okay. What do you, are you?
You're messing me up by like throwing things out.
Okay.
Like mass murders are like the terror attacks on 9/11.
Okay.
Sure.
Like cults do it. So like Jim Jones in Jonestown, that massacre of like 919 people. That's why like when you say Columbine, like those are little numbers compared to like most of them. But it's in there. Like the school shootings that we're used to now and have like adapted to. These are mass murders.
I hated that sentence you just said real bad.
That we're used to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, we should never accept that to be something that we're just used to.
That's, no, it's fucking awful.
No.
But like
absolutely not.
There's so many crazier things even still.
I know there's like, way worse. Like
cults are way worse when it comes to this stuff.
Well, cults are like, worse across the board.
If Shoko Asahara would have pulled off what he was actually trying to do instead of making really shitty versions of I forget what gas he used and tried to like kill the people in Japan with that, instead of 12 people would have been millions.
Well, but so they like didn't mustard gas or something.
No. I forget what it's called. It was like a specific sarin.
Oh yeah, sarin gas.
Yeah. But they did it really bad, so it didn't work out. But like he would have been one of the worst ever.
Okay.
But then like Columbine, the Aurora, Colorado shootings in 2012 in Las Vegas, 2017. Those are all what you would consider like
mass murderers. Okay.
Another distinction for mass murderers is they find out who that person is after it's done, usually.
Yeah.
They don't know what's happening when it's happening.
Okay.
For a spree killer, a lot of the time, a spree killer is someone who does similar things to that, but like they kill a bunch of people in a short amount of time in different locations. So like they go to other places for it.
Okay, so spree killers specifically move around.
Yeah, like, but it's still a short, there's no cooling off period. A big thing when it comes to like murderers is a cooling off period.
Okay.
Serial killers take a long break usually in between like when they murder, because they're enjoying what they did. It's a high for them. It's like a drug, the dopamine effect, and then they'll like relive it over and over again. And then once that feeling wears off, they'll go and do it again. And that's why at some point they have like a berserker mode, they call it.
Yeah.
Where they just go nuts because, you know, like with any drug, you get too much of it.
Yeah.
The effects wear off.
Okay.
I would say this is probably closer to a spree killer with this guy. But the only difference is a lot of the times that the cops are tracking a spree killer while he's doing it and they're aware of who he is some point during the crime.
Does this happen like all in one day or does it happen like across a like?
No. So his issues run over the course of, I would say a month.
Which is another thing with like spree killers. It's always within like 30 days is like the most usually that they go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 7 days is like in between individual kills is like the most, but like 30 days is about what they last.
Okay. So, I mean, this guy could be categorized as the FBI definition, Dr. Naylor's version from the FBI, a spree killer.
Yeah. People that like were that you like categorized in that as like Andrew Philip Kunin, who killed Versace.
Okay.
He was sort of also a serial killer, but he did it really short and people were kind of chasing him after he like started hitting really famous names.
Yeah.
The DC Snipers were another spree killer. Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. Because they were just
driving around. That only lasted 23 days.
Yeah.
And then there was this one guy that I remember watching.
Something about a spree killer, just the word spree killer.
It sounds worse.
It makes me think of a guy that's like jogging with a knife and just like stab.
So on that note, Maxim Gelman in New York went on a stabbing spree that was 28 hours long.
Wow, I nailed it.
After he killed his stepdad, decided, well, I'm already caught, so I might as well get rid of everybody else I don't like.
Wow.
And then just went around New York stabbing people.
Jesus.
Horrible.
That's closer to what this your character sounds like in this.
Yeah,
he's just like, well, fuck it, I'm just gonna get everything that I don't like done.
I mean, that makes sense. Does that fit what you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, like, you know, there's a confessionary period of what transpires and then it kind of, you know, unfolds from there. And, you know, obviously there's always a good twist at the end.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I would say
the mother really is an alien.
Right. He could be. She could totally be an alien.
Yeah.
That's the twist. I
fucking knew it.
I feel like killers in movies are always harder to like put into a category because it's always. Movies always take place over a short period of time. Like, you wouldn't call the Scream killers a serial killer, but they're not spree killers.
Right.
And their motives are always different. Like, a serial killer's motive is very much just, like, this fantasy that they're trying to gratify, and then the more they do it, the less they ever meet that expectation.
Yeah.
And, like, in a movie, there's never a guy who's like, all day long I think about murdering these people because it gets me hard.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say, this individual is probably closest to a spree killer, I would say. When I think about serial killers, in movies and things like that, I think about, and I'd have to go back because I haven't seen this film in a while, but Seven.
Yeah.
You know, that would be somebody who like is obsessed with a certain idea.
He was living out his fantasy. So, that's actually a good example of like a serial killer in a movie.
Yeah.
And it took place over months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Serial killers always have a cool down period because a lot of the times they take their trophy or whatever and they just think about it for a while and they like keep going until like that feeling goes away and they have to do it again.
So they bask in their accomplishment for a while.
Yeah. And then there's also different types. So like from Seven, he's more of like a process killer.
Okay.
Like serial killers, there's different subcategories. So there's process killers and product killers. Mm-hmm. In Seven, he's a process killer because it's all about the show of what he's doing. He's doing everything he's doing is for a reason, and that's what's getting him off.
Well, yeah, the whole thing with Seven is like it's a staged act for everyone, basically.
Like product killers are like the ones that are like, I killed that person because I did something and I had to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Or like Jeffrey Dahmer was like, I just wanted this body because people don't listen to me, so dead bodies will listen to me.
All right, yes. I didn't even realize there's that kind of difference in serial killers, let alone that there's
some of them get off the act of murdering and the whole thing, and then some of them it's just a means to an end.
Okay.
And then there's like Ted Bundy, who was both. He was rare in the fact that it was both. He started off killing as like a process killer because he got off on the torture, and then he started keeping the bodies and then visiting them over and over
again. And that was a product killer.
Yeah, because then the goal was to have the body then.
It's like a trophy.
Yeah.
Well, no, those were the heads that he took to his cabin. Yeah.
So that's like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Like he wasn't
skinning them. He was
wearing them, wasn't he?
No, he would go back to the bodies to make love to them.
Oh, well,
he would put makeup on them and clean them off, and then he would stop, and they started to smell too bad.
Yeah, so product. He wanted a sex
toy. Just wanted the body, yeah. That's what a product killer is.
Yeah, okay.
But he started off where it was the rape and torture for him.
Okay.
And then he was like, oh, you know, it's easier if it's just dead.
Okay. Wow, that's fucking awful.
Yeah. How about somebody like Jack the Ripper?
Jack the Ripper was definitely a process killer.
I was gonna say, he was process, right? Because he specifically had a pattern of everything.
I guess back then the technology wasn't there to see if he was raping them, but it was about the show. Like it was all about, he was setting it up, and then the letters, which a lot of the letters were fake anyway.
Yeah.
But still, it was like, he left them on display in public places, like gruesomely tore apart and stuff. So like that was all about like what he was doing.
I watched something about him saying like that a way more kills are attributed to him than he probably did.
It's possible, but it's also the fact that a lot of countries try to pretend like they don't have serial killers and it's just America.
That's true too. A lot of Europe is like, serial killers, that doesn't exist, but there's a lot of European serial killers.
This was like 9 people that all did the same exact thing. It's crazy, which happens, but...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it could. I mean, it does.
Modern serial killers just use opiates. Or retail stores.
Or retail stores, yeah.
You need a vehicle.
That's it.
That is the vehicle, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, we talked about, like, you know, how this idea came from, but... at one point in a past retailer I actually worked with, which I don't work in retail. A lot of people think this is
your confession video.
My confession video or my
Jared, I want memoir, you to know that if this is your confession video, I don't care. I just want to leave this basement alive.
Perfect. We got you. We got you.
No, there's point to that, Jared. There's a theory.
No, you're not the one I'm worried about.
We'll pin it on.
Get out while you can.
Right. So I mean. This original, what's kind of sparked this was like years ago, I was running in the morning, we called like a rally meeting.
And mm-hmm.
So yeah, this group of my employees that worked for me at the time, mm-hmm. and they were like, you know, they were really kind of, you know, bitching about customers and the mm-hmm. way they've been as of late. And they're like, it would be great to have one day where we could just tell them whatever we felt like,
mm-hmm.
kind of like our own Black Friday. Cause you know how Black Friday is, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, man, what if we could do like, what if there'd be like this person, and this is what's going on in my mind. Like, what if there's this one person be like, what if I could just, I'm going to punish these people who've been horrible to me.
Yeah.
You know? And mm-hmm. That's kind of where it started. But again, it had a very horror-esque feel to it originally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we banged a couple drafts out, and then this kind of turned into more of like a drama thriller. And I feel like the story is a lot more interesting mm-hmm. Now that it's kind of turned out to be that. But the other thing about being a filmmaker is you got to be able to take feedback.
Yeah.
You know, when if somebody says to you, hey, you know, like, I really think you should try and do this A, B, and C. And it's okay to take that feedback. Maybe you don't necessarily agree with it, but a lot of people in the cast and crew and like some of these ideas came from them as mm-hmm. we were going through the process.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not entirely.
It was an evolving process. Yeah,
absolutely. So you have the end, the end in sight. But again, mm-hmm. some of the ideas actually came from other folks who were like, hey, how about if I do it this way? And you got to be able to give and take to that, because that way, you know, you have an actor or you have somebody that's on your production team that mm-hmm. gives an idea that's a great idea. You don't want to shut that down.
Absolutely.
You incorporate that into your product, and all of a sudden, boom, they're with you.
Yeah.
Not that they weren't before, but they're really with you now because it's their product too.
Absolutely.
It's their piece.
Yeah. So what kind of cast are we looking at? How many people are mean? How many people are just people that die or were killed off?
So there is... there's about 6 to 7, I would say, main characters.
Okay, so solid.
Yes, a solid 6 or 7 main characters. There's about 35 to maybe 37 on-screen actors.
Okay.
Total. So, you know, and that's counting like extras and things like that might be in the background or mm-hmm, something.
Of course.
You know, and that's the thing. Like, I really wanted to get, I don't want to say as many people involved as possible, but like, you know, I see a lot of independent films where there's like 1-2 actors mm-hmm. and that's okay. You know, and even like some, you know, Hollywood films only have like a couple actors. I think about, Buried, if you remember that film.
I
don't want to remember that film, and I love Ryan Reynolds. But
yeah. I do remember that film. Yep.
It was in my opinion, it wasn't that great of a movie. But yeah. But anyways, there was only a few actors in there. But I see that every once in a while, and that's okay too. But I wanted to have a lot of people involved. Yeah. And there's, mm-hmm. you know, people who actually never worked or acted before. Mm-hmm. And you know, I kind of went through a typecasting process and said, hey, you know, you could be this person, you know, yeah. you could, you know, based on the personality and whatnot, mm-hmm. like you've met this person
yeah.
before. So it's easier to go that way. And, it was a lot of fun. It definitely was a process. I think yeah. a lot of people, really enjoy it. Yeah. Really enjoyed the process.
So you took about two years to film, like 2019 to yeah. this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how much of that time was really like camera filming? Are we talking like 12-hour days, or are we talking like 4 hours, a couple days a week? What were you?
So I know
the pandemic made everything.
Sure. Sure. We definitely were weekend warriors because okay. most of us have jobs during
yeah,
the days.
Like, obviously. Yeah.
You know, 9-to-5s and whatnot, or they're still working in retail mm-hmm. and, you know, yeah. And
so you had people that were working in retail that got to live out a little bit of their own fantasy there?
Kind of. Yeah.
That might be very cathartic.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you work all week in retail and then on the weekend you like LARP murdering the people you hated all week in retail? Like that's therapy right there, baby.
Maybe
the real big twist would have been him converting everybody else in the crew
like join him into this cult.
Yes.
Maybe that was where some of those ideas came from.
Yep.
But most of the shoots were on the weekends. The longest okay. shoot I think I remember us having was 16 to 17 hours.
Oof.
I remember starting at like 11 o'clock in the afternoon or in the morning yeah. and finishing up walking in my house at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's really rough.
Yeah. And I remember on the way home from with my lighting director, we mm-hmm. were driving through Lehigh Valley and I got pulled over. Mm-hmm. Because they thought I was asleep or I don't want to say asleep, yeah. but they thought I was, they thought there was something wrong with my tail lights.
Yeah.
So, it just happened. I was driving his vehicle and, you know, I didn't know how to turn the back lights on or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, it was a long night. So anyways,
yeah. I mean, so yeah, that's so you guys, you put in the effort, you did it even through the pandemic, you made it happen. And now we're looking at, you're in post-production now. So this is coming out, you said December 11th, right? Is the premiere?
Yes, December 11th.
Awesome. That's at the Roxbury. Now, the Roxbury's in, oh my God.
Oh, the Roxy.
Roxy. That's Northampton.
It's Northampton, Pennsylvania.
Northampton, Pennsylvania.
It is not night at the Roxbury.
Yeah, that's yeah. What yeah
I that's in this small town in Pennsylvania, you don't know the Northampton?
Yes, right. Northampton. None of us have ever been there, but it's Northampton, Pennsylvania.
This is an ongoing thing for him.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I'm very excited. I'm pretty sure we're aiming to be there.
I think you guys are going to be our guests. So
yeah, so like that's far as I'm aware, mm-hmm. and Jared is upping me from Bahak. where our plan is to be there the night of the premiere, and
you know, now you have no
do
choice.
Some interviews. Oh yeah, now I can't get out of it.
You're stuck. You're committed.
Oh no, the movie premiere. Oh stop! Twist my arm.
So you're going to have a whole red carpet and everything?
Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to try and do a red carpet. We're definitely going to have interviews with some of the actors and stuff.
Awesome.
Pre-show and, mm-hmm. You know, we're going to film some of that. We'll have like a what they call a step and repeat mm-hmm. Set up. And then we'll have the talk back. And then there'll be some time after, like we're, you know, people want to, if they want to meet and greet,
yeah.
you know, like some of the cast or whatnot, they certainly can. There might be some merch on sale, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean,
yeah, anything merch. Awesome.
Yeah. So the goal really with this film is to take it, on a festival run
yeah.
after that. So 2022 is really going to be focused on entering some festivals.
Yeah.
We can win some awards, get some, you know, kind of, you know, accolades for that, or call it laurels.
Yeah. What are you shooting for? Are you going for like Cannes? What's your,
oh man. You know, some of these like the Cannes and the, oh my God, what's the real big one? Why can't I think of this?
Oh,
you know, the one.
Yeah. A lot of them. Yeah. They're,
they're, it involves a lot of raising money.
I was just gonna say, there's like a lot of handshaking and palm greasing long before the films ever air.
Right. So I mean, you really want to. Not that I don't set my expectations too low or anything, but let's win one or two.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And you know, in a, kind of more of the regional level, and let's absolutely figure that out and then grow from there.
Yeah, but the bigger ones are harder to get in with like a horror type film anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they tend to go for really.
So this
yeah,
was supposed to be more like psychological thriller and turned into kind of horror.
No, reverse.
Okay.
So yeah, this is more of us. Yeah, it ended up being more of a psychological thriller. And honestly, and I love horror. I love horror movies. I grew up on slashers and things like that, and that's all well and good. But I mean, like my special effects coordinator, I mean, he wanted to make these kills and things like that happened to like a lot more gruesome. And I was like, no, we got to use some tasteful blood with some of this, you know, like
tasteful
blood.
Yep.
So, but again, different ideas and things like
see,
that.
I'm all about psychological thrillers. So I like that. Like I don't dislike gruesome horror movies. I grew up on them, but as I've gotten older, I've found there's too much gruesome horror just bores me. I really like the psychological thrillers. I want to like be in it. I want to see, oh, is this really going to happen? Did this really happen? Especially when you start getting into it of like the, what's it? Psycho, you know, or not Psycho, American Psycho,
yeah,
where it's like, did he really kill them? Did he not? And you get that ambiguity.
Well, then they ruin it with the sequel. So
yeah, the sequel,
which
bullshit.
I've never seen. So now I don't have to see
it. I know about
it.
I've never seen it.
Not,
it's awful.
It's not good. And the first thing they do is like confirm that he really did it.
Yeah, but that takes and away it, all of that.
Yeah,
that I like about that is like, was he just crazy or did he do it?
Yeah, but you're also super wrong because every horror film is a psychological horror film. You're looking at them from the wrong angle, though. You're like, oh, the poor innocent victims are all getting... No, you're supposed to root for the bad guy.
I didn't say I cared about the victims. Most people
Michael Myers
films,
is supposed to win at the end.
Most people in horror films are awful people. Have you ever noticed that? Like, they try to make you not feel bad about the fact that they're getting killed. There's very few, especially modern, like horror films where it's like, hey, this is a really good person, and then they're killed by the big bad guy.
Yeah, it's very rare, you know, or a lot of times, like, you know, your female, there might be a female at the end, you know, who's like completely innocent.
Yeah,
you know,
the
and
final
they always,
girl.
Yeah, the final girl. Yeah,
yep,
exactly.
Stereotypical final girl.
Yeah, yeah. So they, you know, if you did something, if you're drinking or you're smoking, or you're doing that, you're done.
Oh, were you fucking your boyfriend in the beginning? Oh, you're dead.
You're out.
No, the best movie ever for that is still Scream. Because right at the end, he gets Courtney to give up her virginity. He's like, guess what?
Yep.
Now you're in the rules.
Yep. Oh, my God. I hate but love. So one of those things I love is like Cabin in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
That stereotypical, like they put, like starts so stereotypical and very quickly transfers into that like, oh, it's all like, you know, a scenario. Have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
It's been a while, but yeah, I have.
So you get like the big government organization that's running it as a sacrifice to keep the old god things kind of down. And it's one of those things where it's like it starts with all the traditional stereotypes of horror movies and it kind of becomes commentary on them. Mm-hmm. And I love that in that movie. Mm-hmm.
And it's the thing with it's really hard to find an original horror movie anymore. Yeah. But if you're a horror fan, you just like this. I don't want to say you like the same thing, but you kind of like the same thing. You like the same process.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting.
It's all about what can be the most ridiculous kill that they can do and how much do I like the killer. It's not so much about anybody else in the movie.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And
that doesn't surprise me.
What would
me about
be
you
like your biggest inspiration for this one? Because it sounds like it's like confessional stuff. Is it like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer or like, what would you say, really?
Oh, you mean, like, who's the character based off of?
Well, what drew you to, like, make a movie like this outside of, like, retail? Like, what films, like, inspire you?
Oh, okay. So, some of the films that inspired this film, which you guys might have seen, Falling Down, 1994, I think, with Michael Douglas.
Yep.
Talk about
guy. It's been a long time since I've seen Falling Down.
Yeah, talk about a guy that had a bad day.
Yeah.
Right? Another film is 1968 Targets.
Targets.
Which Peter Bogdanovich, actually a famous director. It was one of his first films, but it had, and I am losing my mind on this.
It always happens as soon as,
I was, of course,
as soon as you want to talk about something, we go through it every time.
wow. He was the original Frankenstein.
Oh, nope, that's Dracula. Hold on, I know.
He also did the. He was also the Mummy.
Boris Karloff.
Boris Karloff. Yeah, yeah. Boris Karloff. Believe it or not, was in this. Was in this film.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And so, and then another film that also kind of had a an influence is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Really?
1947. Okay. Not 2014 the, with Ben not Stiller.
The, yeah, Ben Stiller.
1947,
one
and also some influence as it was a movie done in I think in 2006 or seven, a movie called Afterlife with Liam Neeson and Christina Ricci and also Justin Long.
So not just horror films. Really, no, the inspiration.
No, all absolutely right. not. Yeah,
very interesting. I mean, I'm stoked for this premiere. I'm excited to go see it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing. You should be in it, no matter what genre it is, you should be able to pull from other, you can pull things from other films that have a completely different genre just because you like a certain idea or aspect and things like that.
That's how you make an interesting, complex film, not just like a one note wonder.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why do you keep looking at me?
Oh, I don't know. I just keep seeing, I think I see your freaking leg move out. And it's like, it's my squirrel ADD kicks in.
It's bothering you.
Yeah.
It's bothering you.
It's just like I see movement and I go, what's that over there? Oh, no, it's just Kyle. Still Kyle, just moving.
It's like you're not used to the fact that I don't sit still.
Usually I'm not looking. Okay, so this is what it is. Because Jared's on my left and Kyle's on my right. Usually I do this. And so you're always in my view. So it doesn't matter. I'm looking at Jared, our guest. And now you're to my right. Yep. And I get it just into my peripherals. Yeah.
So what are your favorite like horror films then? Like,
okay, so I mean I love slasher films. So I grew up to, you know, of course those 80s slashers and things like that. Nightmare on Elm Street's always been my favorite horror franchise. I really took the Saw franchise when it came out.
Okay.
Not because of, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's, what do they call that? Torture porn.
Yeah.
The first one has almost no blood. That's the thing that everybody forgets.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And what I really liked, and if we could just talk about the Saw franchise is like, what's great about that franchise is they are low budget movies that are done pretty well.
Yeah.
So like when you're in this business, like a lot of people will really knock on horror movies, but people do horror movies to make money.
Yeah.
They do it on small budgets and they tear in quick profits. That's why like Lionsgate and some of these other production companies are really heavily involved in doing horror films.
Yeah. Cause if you pop out a movie for $100,000 and it has a, what's considered a shitty box office by Hollywood standards of like 15 million, you're awesome. You're making a ton of money on it.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be a big award-winning film for them to make them millions of dollars.
Right. Absolutely. So
it also cemented James Wan as being like a major icon in horror.
Yeah. Absolutely. And James Wan is going on to do other films. He did a Fast series, Fast and the Furious. He did Aquaman, right?
Did he do Aquaman?
I swear he directed Aquaman.
Oh, look. Oh, you got to look that up. I want to know that. Can we get a fact check?
The guy who created Saw and Insidious did.
Yeah.
That's awesome. See, I'm more of a Clive Barker fan. I get into like a lot of those like
Clive Barker doesn't know how to write though.
I know they're not good. I'm not saying it's well written. I
liked Book of Blood, but that was like a weird super like I don't think anybody's seen that movie.
I don't know. That sounds familiar, but I don't know if I've actually seen it. I like ones where you're like
he did do Aquaman.
He did Aquaman. Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
I know him for The Conjuring and Saw.
Yeah, right. So there you go. Fun fact. So, but yeah, James, and he just redid. He just came out with a new movie, Malignant.
Oh that, yeah, that yeah. Was, I keep seeing ads all over it. For it.
I don't want to spoil it or anything like that. I saw that a few weeks ago with my wife, and it was okay. You know, it was all right. It was one of them. It was one of them. The Notorious horror films that just have the same kind of endings. But yeah.
Yeah.
But back to the Saw series, you know, if I recall, it was done on a $2 million budget.
Okay.
And they churned out, like, I mean, that big twist at the end was amazing. And that got everybody hooked. But what I love about that series, when you talk about, like, characters who are bad people, it really, like, really taught people life lessons.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're...
Well, his whole thing was, like, you don't appreciate what you have.
Right.
I'm going to teach you a lesson. And, I mean, he converted people to him. In the later movies, the one guy that cuts his leg off, played by the way, Robin Hood from Modern Hood Men Tights, was Errol...
Cary Elves.
Yeah, Cary Elves.
Yeah.
Who's amazing.
He's the killer in later ones? Because I stopped watching after, like, three.
Oh, he's like the protege.
He becomes you find out that he's a protege.
I know that the girl did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a couple different proteges.
There's a few. There's a few proteges. And again, the later movies got a little convoluted in what's going on, but
I can say that in the game Dead by Daylight, the Saul Pig character, who is Samantha, was her name, something like that. She is the most horrifying one.
Shawnee Smith. That's the actress. I can't remember her.
I couldn't tell you her screen name. I forget completely.
Well, Jared listened to me scream like a little girl one time when she caught me.
So, yeah, but definitely. And I mean, and Nightmare on Elm Street is very classic, you know.
There's a lot of really killer scenes in Nightmare on Elm Street. Killer scenes.
Right.
That I really, really enjoyed. The ones that stuck with me, though, I don't know why, but I hated but watched all the time Child's Play, any of the Chucky movies, just something dolls and children. I don't like it. So, like,
a true story. When I was younger, obviously a lot of what inspired Child's Play was My Buddy. If you remember My Buddy,
My Buddy dolls.
So I used to have a My Buddy doll when I was five or whatever.
Hey, you could fuck right off with that. Not even a chance.
And
such a chicken.
Whatever.
My parents rented Child's Play, and of course, like, I wasn't really supposed to be watching it, but maybe I was peeking around the corner watching some of this, and I had seen. Did it in secret, right? Mm-hmm. So I ended up seeing this, and I'm like, wow, My Buddy, not so that. Staring at me the entire night. So My Buddy ended up in the closet for a while, and then ended up on the attic, and so
that's funny.
It's a real weird scenario, though. It's amazing how that can really trip you.
I never had the doll or anything, but my fear from the Chucky doll thing manifested very specifically from one scene in Child's Play, I think, with Under the Bed. Like, I know some people, like, everyone's like, oh, the monster under the bed. Mine was always Chucky. I couldn't sleep on the floor when I said that, sleepovers and stuff, because I was afraid of the doll coming out from under the bed.
Right.
That was like, that's the kind of shit that stuck with me.
I'm going to sneak into your house and put a doll under your bed.
Yeah.
That wouldn't do anything to me now.
Yeah, the only monster under my bed these days is my cat, Elias.
I was just thinking about that. My cat would be under there.
With the doll.
You know what's under my bed right now? My rifle. That's what you're going to find.
I'll make sure the doll's holding it.
Oh my god, that'd be hilarious.
Out when I was I worked on like a movie podcast for a little bit that saying the phrase, it was like a family movie, shouldn't apply to movies like that.
Yeah.
But for me, Child's Play sort of a family movie.
It's not a family movie.
It is.
I mean,
watch it with your mom.
If the family sits down and watches it, technically it's a family movie. It's family night.
I tried really hard to convince my wife last night that the movie that I put on was a family movie. It was a movie about a son who was upset and he was trying to get his parents back together because his mom was getting remarried. And then it just happened to be Domestic Disturbance with John Travolta and Vince Vaughn.
Oh my God.
But it has the same stereotypical plot
it
of like a family
all
movie.
All of those notes.
Until Vince Vaughn starts killing people.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's different then.
Spoilers for an old
ass movie.
2004.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you so okay, cool. Once again, let's get some final repeats on the info. It's
the Roxy
Theater in Northampton, Pennsylvania.
I will walk you to it because we can from here.
There are a lot of Roxys, believe it or not. There's a Roxy in Hollywood. So
yeah,
so
it's not the Roxy in Hollywood. It's the Roxy in Northampton, Pennsylvania.
Yes,
maybe. One day. It's called the
Retailer.
Retailer. Yep.
It premieres
December 11th.
Yep, December 11th, and it is actually going to be more. It's a matinee. So, okay. So,
well, it's good because I'm an old man, so I don't stay up late.
Perfect. That works perfect. So, we're going to be opening doors, I believe, at 12 or 12:15.
Okay.
You can get your tickets on Eventbrite.
There's all right, awesome.
There's an Eventbrite. And actually, right now, I don't know if Jared, did you tell him about the promo?
No, he didn't. What's the promo?
He's gone.
Wow. He told me, but I don't know what it is.
Jared, do you want to talk about the promo?
So, Jared, no, so, you come do it, Jared. It'll be funnier this way.
Yeah.
Here, talking to the mic.
Yeah, you got to talk to Mike, bro.
Producer Jared here, not the guest Jared. So there's going to be on the website, right?
Right, it's going to be on the website.
So if you order from the website, you're going to be able to enter the promo code RUMRUNNUS to get, it was 15%?
30%.
30%, wow. Even better. 30% off spell that. Of tickets. To the premiere, and that's Rum Runners. If you're listening to that, you should hopefully know, but RUMRUNNAS. Back to the show.
So if you put, awesome. Just to reiterate what Jared, the producer, says, so if you go to the website, www.theretailerfilm.com, okay. And there is on that site, you can find where, like, go get tickets up to the premiere. There'll be an Eventbrite link. You click that, and then you go and you put in your amount of tickets you want, and then you can put in a promo code and put in RUMRUNNAS.
RUMRUNNAS, RUMRUNNAS.
Right, in caps, and you will get 30% off.
30% off, that's a hell of a deal. Any of our listeners will be out there. If you want to meet us, if you want to see this film, it sounds like it's going to be fucking awesome. That's December 11th, Roxy Theater, Northampton, Pennsylvania. The Retailer. Eventbrite, and what was the Retailer movie?
It's theretailerfilm.com.
Theretailerfilm.com or retailerfilm.com?
And where can people follow you?
Theretailerfilm.com.
Theretailerfilm.com.
You can honestly just follow us on Facebook. You can follow us at The Retailer Film. And we don't really have a Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram at The Retailer Film.
Okay.
But you can follow me at jhaz82.
Awesome.
On Twitter, which I don't have a lot of Twitter followers, so I would like a lot of Twitter
followers.
So you guys are going to have to follow.
I'll look you up after this.
All right. Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, thank you then. I'm Ryan, or Turtle.
That's Ryan.
I'm Ryan. Ryan or Turtle.
Norwal. There, now we're changing it.
Animals and names. I'm Turtle.
I'm Norwal.
You're Norwal.
And I'm Jared.
And you're Jared. That's not an animal, Jared.
No. And I'm Jared Haas. I am the filmmaker, the local filmmaker, the director and writer of The Retailer.
Soon to be director extraordinaire, taking his movie on the circuit.
I really should use that name more often, considering it's my actual, like, internet handle for everything.
Exactly. All right. Thank you for listening. Let us know if you're going to be there for the premiere. If you want to come out, hit us up. It'd be great to, you know, talk to people, get their views on the film before and after, and have a great day.
And he failed the normal wrap-up, as he normally does.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to find all the episodes for all of the shows, you can go to rumrunnerspodcastnetwork.com.
I did it so good on the other show.
I was waiting for it. I'm like, he's going to just wrap this up. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Dark Rum Podcast. If you have any of your own stories and you'd like to hear them read on the show for a special listener episode, especially for Halloween, because I'm still trying to do that, you can email us at darkrumstories@gmail.com. We have Reddit. You can find us on Reddit. We also have a group page for the whole show's network. If you look up Rummer's Crew on Reddit, you can find the Discord links. Everything is unlinked into the website.
If you're in Bulgaria, we love you too.
Bulgaria, we love you so much. Thank you. You in South Africa.
South Africa, you're also...
The whole continent.
The whole continent. Just love all of them. Thank you for listening.
Bye. Mm-hmm.